One of the best in the business, without question, Scott Lauber, Philly Inquirer, joins us. Scott, how have you been?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for asking. Before I get to the Philly specifically, I want to get the big picture for a moment. In the NFL, you and I both know that they'll do points of emphasis in the preseason. That way they'll call a million penalties and at least make their point. Why didn't baseball, when it came to the ball itself, not do something in spring training about this and wait until 40% into the season?
So Major League Baseball would tell you that they did do something in that they sent a memo to teams basically saying knock it off, you know, in terms of the sticky stuff, the substances, and that they were going to implement what they have implemented, which are that they are going to have the pitchers checked. It was coming down the pike, and you talk to people around the game, and they say that pitchers knew that this was coming. This should not take them by surprise. If they are still doing something, or if they had been doing something, and now they are claiming, you know, like pitchers who are claiming that you can't make this change mid-season because it alters how we prepare. People around the game are saying, like, you knew this was coming. We warned you about it in spring training. If you were still doing something and now you've got to quit cold turkey in the middle of the season, that's on you. So baseball will say that it did put this out there, that this was going to happen. I think you and I can both agree that they didn't do enough. And the other thing about this I think that's important to note is that while we're fixated on these random checks and pitchers unbuckling their belts and in some cases pulling down their pants and kind of making a mockery of the whole thing.
Right.
And how awkward it is, you know, that's the spectacle of the whole thing. The real issue here is that, you know, baseball's got to come up with something with the ball. I mean, they've got to fix the ball, basically. They've got to put some, you know, they've got to develop a ball which has a tack on it. They do this in Japan, where pitchers can get the grip that they need, and they don't have to go to these, you know, spider tack and other things that are illegal. Fix the ball. If you fix the ball, you fix the problem. And that's really the heart of the matter here, and I think it gets lost in the whole, you know, spectacle of what's gone on now all week long.
Which goes back to something I've talked about a lot recently, and that is, if an organization can't fix a ball, how are they going to be able to fix a collective bargaining agreement starting November 30th?
Right, right. I mean, I think we have a tendency to, a lot of times, to emphasize the negatives in the game, what's wrong with the game, but it feels like in the last few years, the game is broken, whether it's the lack of action in the game or the fact that, you know, just generally games are harder to watch. Strikeouts are up, walks are up, home runs are up, scoring in general is down, fewer balls in play. And then you brought it up, the whole collective bargaining agreement issue, which is threatening to shut the game down after after the 1st of December when the CBA expires, we could have a work stoppage. So lots of issues in the game right now, and, you know, the baseball itself is at the top of the list, at least for me. There's just so much that baseball's got to go through in order to, you know, get to the next phase of the game that we need to get to.
You know, it's interesting, though, in the world of analytics, it does not for the most part, but discourages, for example, stealing a base.
Right.
Yeah, you look at the San Diego Padres, Scott. You and I both know the Padres run. And to the point where I think the Dodgers are uncomfortable putting Kenley Jansen in because, I mean, you and I would have a shot running on him.
Right.
Okay. You know, the Red Sox with Cora run a little bit.
Yeah.
Why is it there? You and I both know sports are copycats. Why don't more try to copy what a couple of successful managers are doing in San Diego and Boston Because, I mean, I realize personnel counts in this, but why isn't there a little more copycat in that?
You hit on it. I think personnel, I think teams are not built that way anymore.
Right.
If those things are not being emphasized in the game, then players who do those things, and mostly those things, are not being carried on rosters. So, look, I think part of it's personnel, but I also think part of it, I hope, is cyclical. Like, you know, what do they say? Everything that's old is new again, or, whatever that expression is.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, retro comes back, right? It's
right.
And so maybe we'll see it swing back around, the pendulum swing back around, so that, you know, if a few teams do have success doing it that way, that maybe more teams will copy that.
Well, the Phillies, when you look at the bullpen, and Scott, you and I, this is something we talked about several times over the years. What's the current issue with the bullpen? Because yesterday was interesting.
Yeah, you know, just when you think that that it couldn't possibly get worse than it was last year for the Phillies, they have a day, at least, in 2021 that topped anything they did in 2020 as far as reaching lows. They blew a 5-run lead, a 4-run lead, and a 1-run lead in the ninth inning. In that game, they scored 12 runs and lost 13-12. It was about as bad a loss as you can imagine, and it took 5 hours, or close to it. It was about as bad a loss as you could possibly have. If you ask me what the issue was yesterday, I mean, incredibly. So I guess in theory they began the day with a 10-man bullpen,
right,
which in and of itself is unheard of. But four of those relievers were not available, according to Joe Girardi, because of recent workload issues, which is also difficult to imagine, considering how many off days the Phillies have had this month, that you could go into a game with four relievers who are unavailable. Part of that has to do with the fact the starters haven't given them a whole lot of length lately. The last two turns through the rotation, I think a starter has finished the sixth inning one time. So when that happens, your bullpen tends to get worn down. They would have gone to any number of options in the sixth inning before they went to David Hale if they had had Ranger Suarez available, if they had had if they had had even Spencer Howard available. Those guys were not available, so he had to use a mop-up man in a critical situation in the game in the sixth inning. I think it is as much a bullpen management issue as it is a roster construction issue.
Yeah, I was about to ask that.
The season that they were a reliever short still,
yeah,
of having a much better bullpen, and
right,
you know, it's starting to bear that out. They just don't have enough guys that Joe Girardi can trust in big spots.
That's a big part. You can't trust them, and you don't know what to do at that point. I mean, that I understand. Now, down the road, I believe that starting next year, Scott, you're only going to be allowed to have 13 pitchers on the roster anyway, if I read it correctly. What is that going to do for – because idealistically, I believe they want to get to 11 here eventually, where you can only have 11 pitchers on a roster for a game. I mean, I think that's the eventual goal. What's that going to do for managers as to how they manage the game, in your opinion, once these things are put into play?
Well, it's going to force them to stick with starters longer, which is a good thing. I think as much success as a team like the Rays have had with short starts and whatnot, I think you want to see a starter go deep into a game. At least I do. That's the game that I was, you know, that I grew up
Me
with.
Too.
So I think that's one thing. But I think it's also going to change how you manage your roster. I mean, so right now, one of the reasons why the Phillies have 14 pitchers on their roster right now is that Spencer Howard and Bailey Falter are both young starting pitchers who are getting built up in the big leagues. And they really have two guys for one spot in the rotation right now, and they are able to do that because they can carry 14 pitchers. So
right,
you're not going to be able to do that, obviously, if you limit the number of pitchers on a roster. You're not going to be able to have two guys essentially for one spot. So it's going to change a little bit of how you think about building your roster and how you assign those roles. I mean, you can't carry five long men. Phillies essentially have four long men right now in their bullpen. Five if you count Matt Moore, who was just added to the roster yesterday and is going to start one of the games tomorrow in New York. So you're not going to be able to do that. You're going to absolutely positively have to define a role, which means, in theory, you're going to have guys you're going to have to carry guys who you know you're going to use, absolutely know you're going to use them.
A couple of young guys for a moment. Alec Bohm coming off a four-hit game. Your thoughts on him. And then, and I'm only asking this for personal reasons, because Mark Vierling is here with the State College Spikes right now. So his brother Matt now is up with the Phillies. So just a quick thumbnail on what you've seen from him so far, and then, of course, along with Alec Bohm.
So Vierling is interesting. He didn't play last year because there was no minor leagues, and he went to Australia, I believe, played a little bit of winter ball. Actually, I'm sorry, Luke Williams went to Australia. Vierling went to instructional league after the season was over to kind of make up for some of those lost at-bats. Then went to big league camp, started the season in Double-A, and played really, really well at Reading. They promoted him a week ago, a little over a week ago, to Triple-A, and he had like five hits in his first three games. And Matt Joyce went on the IL, and so rather than calling up Mickey Moniak, who's been here before and is now banged up, Adam Haseley, I think, had been banged up at the time and is now on the IL in Lehigh Valley. The Phillies decided, hey, look, let's call up Vierling. He's been hot in the minor leagues. And, just turn him loose and see if he can keep that streak going, that hot streak going in the big leagues. It's not a bad way of thinking of it. It's not a bad approach to take when you call a player up. You want to make sure that he's swinging the bat well. And he picked up a few hits over the weekend in San Francisco, got a pinch hit in his first at-bat. And he's done all right. So, I mean, it's interesting because he's a guy who, we were wondering how players who didn't play last year would fare as they get back into playing every day. For him, it's happened relatively quickly. So he's a right-handed hitter. It'll be interesting to see how they use him going forward now, whether he makes occasional starts against lefties or whatnot. But I think he's a guy to definitely keep an eye on because he certainly opened their eyes throughout the course of the year. And Alec Bohm, that was really the positive that came out of yesterday. There were a few. I mean, McCutchen hit a grand slam, and Jankowski had a few hits and a home run. But Alec Bohm had a four-hit day. That's a career high for him. We're talking about a guy who went a solid month, with one extra base hit. And now he's got a few in his last few games, and he talked after the game yesterday about putting the bat on the ball more, making more contact, striking out less. Good things happen when you put the ball in play. And, all of those things are true. And if he's able to do that on a more consistent basis, look, they know Alec Bohm can hit. I mean, he hit last year in 45 games after he came up. I think it was very easy to fall into the trap of saying, well, Alec Bohm's here now. He's arrived. He's a fully formed, major league hitter. He had a 45-game rookie season in a 60-game year. And, there were going to be struggles along the way. I think if you take his current season and last year, he still hasn't played a full season yet. So there were going to be struggles along the way. He's gone through that. Maybe he's coming out the other end of it now, and they certainly need it because as a guy in the middle of that lineup, they need another guy to hit, and it would be good if Alec Bohm could provide that.
One final question, Scott, and then I'll let you go. Thanks so much for your time. And that deals with Gabe Kapler. Obviously, the Phillies just played the San Francisco Giants. We all know what Gabe did with the Phillies. But sometimes you learn from that experience, and then the next chance you get, you are a little different or you apply things differently. Are you sensing anything in Gabe Kapler and his approach that he's managing the San Francisco Giants a little different or a little more mature or applying his thought process better there than he did in Philadelphia?
Oh, I think he's learned from his Philly experience. There's no doubt about it. you know, I talked to him over the weekend, but last weekend, but I talked to him at length when they were in town in April to play the Phillies, and he talks about how he's a little bit less, he's a little bit more attuned to, you know, the player as a human being. You know, like the numbers tell you one thing, and you know, the numbers can tell you can guide you a certain way, but you know, the player is the one who's actually playing the game, and so he's a little bit more attuned to a player and how a player feels, a player's comfort level in a certain spot. I'll tell you a quick story. His first year with the Phillies, he talked to Carlos Santana, was on the team that year, and they talked about batting in a specific spot in the order. Santana hit second a lot that year. He also hit cleanup a lot that year, and I believe, I want to say it was batting in the two hole, and they talked about it in spring training, and Santana, you know, kind of expressed that he didn't love it. He preferred kind of seeing a couple more hitters face a pitcher maybe before that first time at the plate. For whatever reason, he just didn't love it to hit, you know, closer to the top of the order. And Kapler listened to him and kind of then looked at the numbers and thought, well, Santana would be good up there, and put him up there, and it didn't work out so well for the first month, month and a half of that 18th season, and then ended up dropping him down. And I think it taught him that, look, if I just listened to the guy in the first place, you know, whatever the numbers were telling me, the player was telling me something different. And I think he's learned some of those lessons. And you look at that Giants team, he has a lot of players on that team. That team is an interesting group. It's an interesting roster. You have a lot of interchangeable parts, guys who can play different positions, a lot of platoons on that team, different lineup versus righties than versus lefties. But right there in the middle of that lineup, on most days, he's got Buster Posey, Brandon Belt, and Brandon Crawford.
Yep.
Those three guys won World Series with the Giants. They are leaders of that team. And I think he's very much attuned to what those guys think and how they feel and what they say and all of that. So, you know, if there's a change in Kapler, I think that's probably it. I will say I think the Giants are a good team. They're a better team than I thought they would be at the start of the season. I will say that Kapler had good first halves with the Phillies in both 18 and 19, mm-hmm. and then it was the second half of the season that didn't go so well. So I think a lot of people who followed Gabe Kapler here are going to be watching the Giants very closely in the second half to see if they start to slip a little bit, you know, or if they had that second half slide that Kapler's Phillies teams did. But, you know, I'll tell you, I mean, having seen them twice now, once here and once there, that's an impressive group, and they can do a lot of things. They hit a lot of home runs, and they're pitching really, really well, and that's a recipe for a lot of wins.
It's always great talking with you. I enjoy it so much. Scott, thank you for the time you gave us today. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Steve. Thanks for having me.